We'll continue in the pith teachings of Sri Ramana Maharishi. You say dreamless sleep is empty of all consciousness after waking from sleep. You do not say so in sleep itself. That in you which now says that sleep is unconsciousness is your mind. But it was not present in your sleep. And it is natural for the mind to be ignorant of the consciousness that is in sleep. Not having experienced sleep, the mind is unable to remember what it was like and makes mistakes about it. The state of deep sleep is beyond the mind. Now, this is a very important point that Sri Ramana speaks of very often, because it is a parallel to the question of nothingness, right? There are some people who would say in deep sleep they're in nothingness. But when they wake up, they're very rested. And deep sleep is something that people want. And if you don't get enough deep sleep, in fact, you go into sleep debt. And you can actually die from sleep debt. And so it turns out that in deep sleep, that is actually when we touch into the real self. For most people, that's the only time they touch into the real self. And clearly, deep sleep is not a state of unconsciousness, because you can hear the alarm when it goes off and you come out of deep sleep. So consciousness is there, but not the ego. And when you're in real deep dreamless sleep, it's very blissful. Most people don't want to come out of it. That's why they come late to class. They prefer to be in deep sleep a little longer. And so they'll press the snooze button instead of just getting up and get 5 more minutes of as deep a sleep as they can get. So deep sleep is something that happens even in the meditation hall itself. It's as close to samadhi as the ego mind can get. But it's not samadhi. And the reason it's different from what is traditionally called nirvikalpa samadhi, the samadhi state in which you are near vikalpa, beyond thought, as in deep sleep, is that you are awakened to that state of consciousness that is beyond the ego mind. And once you are consciously able to establish yourself in that state of samadhi beyond the mind, then you can actually live in that state beyond the mind, even after the mind wakes up and starts functioning, because you're no longer identified with the mind. You have realized that there is a beyond to the mind and that it's not actually nothingness and unconsciousness and a lack of being. No, it is actually a much more intense and blissful state of being. In fact, it is the equivalent, when you are in the samadhi state consciously, the equivalent of para-brahman or nirgun brahman, the brahman which is a unified field of consciousness, I should say the unified field of cosmic consciousness, that has no qualities in the sense that there is nothing objectifiable that the ego mind could detect, because the ego mind is a much lower level derivative that comes from what we could call the God field. And the God field is several steps higher than the stage of consciousness in which there is a world. First, there's it gives birth to the quantum unified field in which there is activity, waves, and then the particles, and then you get the whole differentiated systemic intelligence that functions as a cosmos. But the Parabrahman contains all of that in potentia. And your consciousness, if you are one with Parabrahman, has that infinite intelligence. But without any desire to manifest a world, because deep sleep or that state of bliss is much nicer. It's liberation. So there is no desire, once you are established in samadhi, to come out of it. Even though you will be able to function even better than before when the body is awake and the mind needs to act to resolve problems at a symbolic level. But you won't fall into the trap of believing that that imaginary construct of the world is the real. Your values will have changed, and you will understand that the so-called nothingness is actually the source of everything, and that that silent, blissful presence is filled with incredible energy, and it is filled with the power of God. That is one of the aspects of God. And every tradition of religion and spirituality has recognized that as such. And this is why we discovered in this last retreat that the Taoist sages saw the same truth that Ramana realized, which is that the world is not actually an existent entity. It is a flux that arises within that field of Brahman. And it is always beyond it, and the world returns to it. The world is a dream, and like every other dream, it reaches an end point. It reaches a point of exhaustion, where its entire message, its entire meaning, has moved from the implicate order of potentiality into the explicate order. And it has been displayed so that the consciousness can understand the difference between true and false, right and wrong, good and evil. All of those differentiations that are potential in the absolute, once they have been, let's say, dramatized, because the world is a drama, and they have been unknotted, which is the denouement, the releasing of the knots of the plot, and the consciousness realizes in its exhaustion that it wants to return to God, just like at night after a hard day, you want to return to deep sleep and to rest in peace, in that peace that passeth the understanding of the mind, but in which the bliss, the grace, the goodness, the love of God saturates you to such an extent that you dissolve into that field of infinite, beautiful presence without being different from it, because you never were different from it. and all of those differences and all of those troubles and tribulations in the mind that eventually get displayed at large in the world are illusory fixations that are based upon the false belief that you're a creature in the world, rather than the source of consciousness exploring all of its permutations of possibility, and then returning to itself in its absoluteness. And we are now in the moment when, just as at night you want to go into deep sleep, you might not be able to because you're still so revved up from the day, or there's too much anxiety, or there are too many things to be thought about that you can't go into deep sleep. But if you can go into deep sleep, you realize that's the best gift that you can have. And that is what enables you to wake up refreshed. And often it's after you wake up from deep sleep that you realize the answers to all the problems you couldn't solve the night before. Because you're not unconscious, you're superconscious. And so the knots that couldn't be resolved with your conscious mind in duality, you can wake up and say, aha, I got it, this is how it'll be done, and your problems will be resolved. But who resolved them? You received grace. Every night we receive the grace of the presence of God, but the problem is we're not attuned to it, so we only get 1% of that grace to remain when we're awake. And then the tendency is to fall back into the mind's algorithms without having dissolved them in deep sleep. And this is why it's important to be in a samadhi state, because in the samadhi state, you can resolve all of those mental patterns that constantly create the same kind of suffering day after day, week after week, year after year. And you can only resolve them by being consciously in samadhi, in that state in which the mind surrenders to the Lord, the literal God, the actual God who exists, who is the intelligence and the bliss and the light and the power to take away your suffering, just like you touch into in deep sleep at night momentarily. But because you haven't consciously surrendered to God while in the waking state, the ego comes back, until you decide consciously that you want God more than you want the world and the problems that are created by your mind, which is the cause of the projection of the world. And so your values must shift so that you want to be in that state while awake and not trapped in the ego mind with all of its suffering, depression, despair, anxiety, fear, all of those forms of suffering that occur because you are not the master of your mind. So what going into samadhi does is to give you mastery. But you can only get mastery through surrender, because the ego cannot master itself. The ego must surrender to that aspect of your being that you don't know and you may not believe in, but without which you would not be alive. In the same way that without going into deep sleep regularly, you won't stay alive. But this is the source of life itself. And when you go into it with such an urgency and a yearning for deliverance from suffering once and for all, to take refuge with the Lord who is beyond life and death and beyond suffering. When you realize that taking that refuge is the only option, that's when you get serious about the spiritual path. That's when you let go of everything that is a diversion or is a falsification or is a delay tactic or an attachment to something within the illusion that you're enjoying so much that you're willing to pay the price that it comes with. And when there's a realization that it's not worth it, what's worth it, what the only value left at all is God, then you let go. You let go of the ego mind and you return home. You return to the abode from which we have all come. And when we return to that abode, we find peace. We find a peace that can support and sustain consciousness even through the period of transition from one yuga to another and from one life to another that survives death and that is able to overcome all adversity. But without having surrendered to that supreme power, the ego itself does not have the capacity and the infinite source of its own essential nature attunable to in order to be able to ascend beyond the illusion. That attunement comes from meditation. And the attunement but must become an at-one-ment. And then that at-one-ment must become liberation. And that is the process of Satyoga. But it only becomes relevant once you realize the state of the world accurately. And I know that there are some who don't think this is the end of Kali Yuga. That will soon be revealed. But if it weren't the end of Kali Yuga, and it's fine with me if you don't want to believe it's the end of Kali Yuga, it would mean that you, after this life, are going to take birth in another life. And how is life going to be 30 years out from now? You think it'll be nicer if we're still in Kali Yuga? Do you actually think it is sustainable even for that long, given the rate of deterioration of every system in the world, biological, geological, psychological, sociological, political, etc.? If you see the trajectory of where things are going, you will hope this is the end of Kali Yuga. And if it isn't, it's because you've gone into a bardo state, into a hell realm, that might just be your private Kali Yuga. Because if that is what you want, that's what you get. God gives you everything you want. If you want Kali Yuga, so be it. There are other bardo states like this one, other dreams like this one that will feel just as real. They usually call them hell realms. I don't think you want to visit them. This one's pretty bad enough, I would think. But to each his own. But the point is, the true nature of our being is beyond all bardos, beyond all dreams, and a moment will come when that's the only thing you will want, is to abide in oneness with God and not be different, even by a fingernail. You will want to be totally absorbed into the blissful light of the Supreme Self. The sooner you choose to achieve that, the easier it is, and the more blessings come. I recommend it highly, and I don't think that ultimately you will find you have any other option. But this option is absolutely beyond question the best. May you gain the peace that comes of taking refuge with God and feel the presence of God within you, surrounding you, saturating you with peace, with love, with light, with quiet joy, with the realization of your connection to God as a child of God. And may you have the deeper peace of realizing yourself as an avataric manifestation of the Supreme Being, filled with that power that can be transmitted to others. And that is always being the receiver of the current of divine energy that is given in order to flow into the world to uplift all the children of God. And may you have the supreme peace of realizing the source itself, the absolute one, and to realize that you are not only the child and the descending avatar, but you are ultimately the absolute self who has never been born, never fallen into Maya, never gone through the cycle of time, but always shines with infinite splendor, bliss, wisdom, and infinite intelligence that knows exactly how to create new worlds. Namaste.